The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member at tntradio.live. You're listening to the Steve Malzberg Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And welcome aboard. It is 4 minutes after the hour of 10 p.m. here on the East Coast of the United States on Friday night. Ho-ho, weekend time. And you know what day and time it is wherever you're listening to the Steve Malzberg Show. Yeah, can we take up a collection? Can we put aside a special grant to Ukraine to buy Zelensky some proper clothes, like to buy him a suit? Can we put aside like, you know, a couple of billion for that, or a wardrobe, whatever the hell he needs to show some respect and act like a human being when he dresses? And then we could use the leftover money to do the same for the senator from the great state of Pennsylvania, Mr. Fetterman. All right. Welcome aboard, folks. So as you heard at the top, Donald Trump indicted on 37 federal counts in the whole classified documents indictment that we talked about last night. They were unsealed today, all the charges, and they're out there. I mean, willful retention of national defense information, conspiracy to obstruct justice, false statements. You know, this is what reportedly is in there. And another Trump aide and valet, Waltine Nauta, was indicted on 6 federal counts detailed in the indictment. And, you know, they said that as President Trump, just he had access to certainly everything, the most sensitive information and documents, and he would put a bunch of stuff in boxes over the course of his presidency: newspapers, press clippings, letters, notes, cards, photographs, official documents, and all kinds of things, and including classified documents. They say hundreds of classified documents, and that included reportedly information regarding defense and weapons capabilities of both the United States and foreign countries, U.S. nuclear programs, potential vulnerabilities of the U.S. and its allies to military attack. Just stuff that nobody should have access to, except, you know, those with security clearance and the president of the United States, of course, who has security clearance. But the special counsel says that Trump showed these documents to others back in 2021. Once at Trump National Golf Club in Bedminster, New Jersey, and once in August or September, also in 2021. And it was with a audio recorded meeting. Now, supposedly they have this on tape, how stupid do you have to be? You either think you're doing nothing wrong, or you have to be really stupid to do it when you know it's being recorded. I assume he knew it was being recorded. And why would you do it in the first place? Now, what did he do? Did he actually show them these documents? Because here's what it says, that in July of 21 at Trump National Golf Club, during an audio recorded meeting with a writer, a publisher, and 2 members of his staff, none of whom had security clearance, Trump showed and described a plan of attack that Trump said was prepared for him by the Department of Defense and a senior military official. He told the individuals that the plan was highly confidential and secret, according to the indictment. Trump also said, as president, I could have declassified it, and now I can't, you know, but this is still a secret. Now, that's all I see in the story from Fox that I'm reading about this. It doesn't then say that he went on to pass around the document, or that he went on to detail what was in the document specifically. So did he just say, hey, I have, you see here, this is a document that talks about blah, 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 but never showed it to them, never described what was in it? I mean, it's still not right, but it's hardly an offense to send an ex-president to jail for. Now, in August or September of 21, the indictment alleges Trump showed a representative of his political action committee, who also did not have a security clearance, a classified map related to a military operation, and told the representative he should not be showing it to him and that the representative should not get too close. Again, and this has to matter. Technically, it may not, but to a jury, it certainly should. Did he say, when you say showing him a map, all right, I have in my hand a cut list of tonight, the cuts on tonight's show, the sound bites, okay? Now, if I have someone that could come in my house and I hold this up and I say, hey, this is the cut list for tonight's show, but I don't show it to him, I don't say, come here, look, this is number one, this is Joe Blow, this is number two. I mean, it's different. It is different. But who knows? Who knows? They say that Trump endeavored to obstruct the FBI and the grand jury investigations and conceal his continued retention of classified documents by suggesting that his attorney falsely represent to the FBI and grand jury that he did not have documents that were called for by the grand jury subpoena. The indictment said Trump also suggested his attorney hide or destroy documents called for by the grand jury subpoena and directed his aide, Waltine Nauta, the one who was indicted also, to move boxes of documents called for by the grand jury subpoena. Now, look, this doesn't sound good. It doesn't sound good. Is there a reasonable explanation? And all we're hearing are the accusations. When the defense puts on its case, we'll hear what the explanation is. But again, and you know, it's not a false equivalency. It's really not. Joe Biden has had documents laying around his garage and at UPenn and Delaware and Chinatown in Delaware since he was a senator. He had documents from when he was a senator. And of course, and we're talking about lots and lots and lots of boxes. Like, I think that it's 1,800 or something. We're talking about Hillary. Well, we're not talking about, I am. Hillary, who had her email subpoenaed. And she erased the emails. And it was determined that there was secret information on there, classified, and that foreign nations probably hacked into her server, which was in her bathroom, in her home, after she left her position as Secretary of State. Remember Bleachbit? Never heard of Bleachbit. That's how you get rid of them. And destroyed cell phones. Now, if they had prosecuted Hillary Clinton for that, I'd say, all right, you know, turnabout is fair play. Or if they, you know, went after Biden. If they even went after Biden's son for the tax issue and the gun application issue after 5 years of quote unquote investigating. If they didn't go to media outlets and say in anticipation of the Hunter Biden laptop coming out and warn social media and other outlets, and when I say they, I mean the government agencies, and tell them this computer is going to come out. They're going to say it's Hunter Biden's, but it's Russian disinformation. So be careful with it. When they knew it wasn't. If they weren't totally ignoring, how many years did they have this document that by coincidence yesterday, the whole oversight committee got to see for the first time? The FBI had this document since 2017 about possible bribery involving Joe Biden as vice president. That Burisma, the country in the company in Ukraine, when Joe Biden was vice president and Hunter Biden was working for them, doing what? God only knows. And the prosecutor in Ukraine was investigating Hunter and Burisma, and Burisma, allegedly, according to the documents, according to those who saw him, said they paid Joe Biden $5 million and paid Hunter $5 million so that Joe Biden could get the prosecutor fired. And we played it for you yesterday. In 2020, Joe Biden is at a forum And he brags about this.
Oh, I flew to Ukraine and they had a corrupt prosecutor. And I said to them, you want $1 billion in aid? Well, you're not getting it unless you fire the prosecutor. And I'm leaving here in 6 hours. And if that prosecutor is not fired, you know, for the government prosecutor, obviously, no aid. And he says, son of a bitch, they fired the prosecutor. And now allegedly we find out Joe got $5 million for that. And his son got $5 million for that. Are we talking about that? Has there been any action about that done on that case? What's going on? Well, we know what's going on. So, yeah, it sounds bad what Trump did. It really does. And you can't be too bright and do that. I'm sorry. You just can't be. But how bright do you have to be if the allegations that are talked about in that document, the FBI document, are true? How bright do you have to be then to brag about what you did? He didn't say, well, I got $5 million for it, but he bragged that he threatened the Ukrainian government that they weren't going to get aid unless this prosecutor got fired. And then it turns out in the document, that's what it was all about. Burisma paid $5 million and $5 million to fire the prosecutor. And that came out yesterday. And the indictment, or the notice of indictment, came out yesterday. It just all stinks too high. It stinks too badly. I'm sorry. It just stinks. I mean, and it's not like this is the first time they've got. Look, they impeached Donald Trump for a phone call that he made with Ukraine that seemed perfectly innocuous to many, many people. The Democrats didn't give a rat's behind. They impeached him. Really? And Joe Biden? Put the $5 million aside. He bragged in front of a whole audience that he threatened Ukraine to fire a prosecutor
who was corrupt. Of course, you see, it was a corruption deal.
Ukraine didn't know enough to understand that this prosecutor was quote unquote corrupt, and what he was doing was investigating Joe's son and Joe's company, Joe's son's company, or the one he worked for. Is that impeachable now? Because we do have a few in Congress now calling for the impeachment of Joe Biden. You know what? You know what? If Republicans had any balls, they would, in the Congress, in the House, they would impeach Joe Biden Monday. He'll never be convicted in the Senate, but neither was Trump. Neither was Clinton. Impeach him. Impeach him. Show that two could play this game. Just, I don't, you know, what could you say? So here's special counsel Jack Smith. Jack Smith, who once had a conviction that he worked on, overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court. He didn't get one vote in his favor. They all voted to overturn his conviction because of the methods he used, whatever he did. I'm not up on it, but so that's who we're talking about here. He's the special counsel appointed by, of course, appointed, but not independent counsel, special counsel appointed by Merrick Garland, the attorney general who works for Biden. You following all this? And at the end of it all, you're not going to hear it, but at the end of it all, Jack Smith, guess who he thanks? Guess who he thanks profusely? The FBI. Can't make it up. Here's cut 105.
Today, an indictment was unsealed, charging Donald J. Trump with felony violations of our national security laws, as well as participating in a conspiracy to obstruct justice. This indictment was voted by a grand jury of citizens in the Southern District of Florida, and I invite everyone to read it in full to understand the scope and the gravity of the crimes charged. The men and women of the United States intelligence community and our armed forces dedicate their lives to protecting our nation and its people. Our laws that protect national defense information are critical to the safety and security of the United States, and they must be enforced. Violations of those laws put our country at risk.
All right, so when Hillary had 30,000 emails that were subpoenaed, and they disappeared.
on purpose, bleach bit. This didn't apply then. The fact that the head of the FBI, I shouldn't say that because I don't remember exactly, but it was kind of assumed and accepted, I should say, that yes, it's like, I think I'm pretty sure James Comey at the time said this when he said no prosecutor would prosecute this. He also, I think, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he said it, that we have to assume foreign countries hacked her server. So she had these classified emails that were subpoenaed, that she erased on purpose, that were probably viewed by foreign countries. But in that case, no big deal. Nothing. Nothing. Literally nothing. That's the system of justice, apparently, in this country right now. That's the system. Matt Taibbi, a liberal, ultra-liberal journalist for years and years, does the Twitter files, and then the day that he's going to testify to Congress about all of it, the IRS shows up at his house. What are the odds? Wow. I mean, what could you say? Now, here's one more from Jack Smith, and it's cut 106.
Adherence to the rule of law is a bedrock principle of the Department of Justice. And our nation's commitment to the rule of law sets an example for the world. We have one set of laws in this country, and they apply to everyone. Applying those laws, collecting facts, that's what determines the outcome of an investigation. Nothing more and nothing less. The prosecutors in my office are among the most talented and experienced in the Department of Justice. They have investigated this case hewing to the highest ethical standards, and they will continue to do so as this case proceeds. It's very important for me to note that the defendants in this case must be presumed innocent until proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt in a court of law. To that end, my office will seek a speedy trial in this matter, consistent with the public interest and the rights of the accused.
Oh, I'll bet you'll seek a speedy trial. But every law expert I've heard speak says this isn't going to be a speedy trial. I mean, there's going to be all kinds of disclosure. There's going to be all kinds of, not objections, but challenges to different things from an ex-president. And plus, there's no way this trial's happening before the trial, if it happens, from the indictment in New York City for the porn star issue. That's scheduled for March of next year. And I've heard law experts say, you know, you can't try a defendant in two different cases in two different jurisdictions, you know, one right after the other. When one is finished, then everything starts, you know, then he's got to prepare and the defense team has to prepare. And you can't go from one right to the other. So what are they going to do? Now, the Justice Department has a policy that as you approach an election, hands off. Well, too late for that, kind of. But what are they going to do? They think they're going to try him on this like in the month or two before the election if he's a nominee? Who knows what they think? Who knows? Their goal, don't think he won't be offered a deal. Don't think he won't be offered a deal. You want to know what it'll be? The Biden administration, the Department of Justice, which is the Biden administration, will say, we'll drop the charges as long as you promise never to run for president or public office again. Because that's what this is all about. That's what this is all about. Now, let's be clear here. We're in uncharted waters. And I don't mean Jesse Waters, but we're in uncharted waters or territory. But it has been done about 100 years ago where someone ran for president from jail. You could run for president as a convicted felon. You could run for president from jail and win. So that isn't necessarily going to stop him. Okay. And it's just, you know, the possibilities open up. They're endless. You know, if Trump does agree not to, or if Trump drops out, who knows? Or if he doesn't agree to the plea bargain, but he drops out, and then he then the Republican, whoever it would be, DeSantis or whoever, will say, if I win, I'm pardoning Trump. All charges will be dropped. I'll direct the Justice Department. So who knows? And by the way, don't you like when Jack Smith says that a bedrock of the Department of Justice has been a commitment to the rule of law? Our laws must be enforced. Off the top of my head, right off the top, forget Hillary. That's just one, but forget Hillary. How about when the protests took place outside the Supreme Court justices' homes, the conservative justices' homes, which is against the law? Against the law. When questioned under oath at a congressional hearing, the attorney general was asked about why arrests weren't made, and he said, I can't instruct people to make arrests. It's up to the agents in the field, whatever, which I don't know about that, but let's say that's true. When he came back to Congress the next time, several weeks later, they were in possession of a memo from somewhere in the Department of Justice saying, do not arrest the protesters unless it's absolutely, you know, egregious and necessary. A bedrock commitment to the rule of law. When they feel like it. When they feel like it. Hunter Biden's still walking around. Joe Biden's still walking around. Hillary's still walking around. I mean, you know, please. Please, 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 please. All right, so we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We got so much more to get to. I'm Steve Malzberg. It's Friday on TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Alan Miller.
A big shout going out to everyone in Rose Hill today in Sutton. Many people again are coming out against ULEZ, the ultra low emission zone. Sadiq Khan has been trying to, let's just call it what it is, bribe more people, but giving people £5,000 to scrap something and then they have to pay £30,000 for a new van and they've got a perfectly adequate van already is not that much of a great bribe, is it? Let's be honest. And 50% of vans are not going to be compliant as they stand at the moment, and that's aside from all the people who've got all the vehicles, and it's just not necessary. We've seen all sorts of devious things, lies, talking about deaths, making things up, but people, the public, are challenging things, and in fact they're using their democratic freedoms to organize, to campaign, to protest, to lobby and to challenge. And in spite of smears and name calling, because clearly people don't seem to want to be able to communicate the actual arguments, the virtue of their positions, but it's very exciting, encouraging that people are doing that, as well as challenging low traffic neighborhoods, 15-minute cities up and down the country.
Alan Miller and today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
For almost 30 years, Kids Foundation has educated and empowered children to live safely and create a better life for those affected by serious trauma, injury, or burns. Kids Foundation also helps children who have suffered serious burns and injuries to recover their self-confidence and joy of life by running amazing camps and team experiences. The vision of Kids is for every kindergarten child in Australia to experience Seymour Safety, its amazing toy character who takes children on a beautiful, inspiring, and fun educational journey. Kids learn about all sorts of dangers, including how to handle unwanted advances by others, where to walk on the roads, and where to store chemicals in houses out of the reach of young kids. Your support is needed to expand the impact of Kids Foundation in keeping our kids safe from unnecessary harms and helping them to recover their lives after injury. To find out how you can support kids, visit kidsfoundation.org.au. A message brought to you by TNT Radio.
The Steve Malzberg Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. It's interesting to note that last night there were, Trump attorney in particular was making the rounds, and even this morning making the rounds, and that was before the indictment was unsealed. But Donald Trump announced this morning that he's got some new lawyers to defend him. And it's pretty interesting. He said, "I will be represented by Todd Blanch and a firm to be named later. I want to thank Jim Trusty and John Rowley for their work, but they were up against a very dishonest, corrupt, evil, and sick group of people, the likes of which have not been seen before." Trump said, "We will be announcing additional lawyers in the coming days. When will Joe Biden be indicted for his many crimes against our nation?" So they resigned, apparently, is what happened. Jim Trusty and John Rowley. But Trusty was out last night defending Trump. And this morning on Good Morning America, if I'm not mistaken, and here, this is before the resignation, before they resigned, before we knew what the 37 charges all were. And I want you to listen. This is Trusty, and then you'll hear an interruption by George Stephanopoulos. Here's cut 97.
You've got these investigations in Delaware that are 1,000 times more serious by a sitting president who has authorized his DOJ to try to sink the candidacy of his prime opposition, while that guy has unsecured documents that he stole out of a skiff dozens of years ago. So, look, you know, we're not talking about some sort of favoritism.
What are you talking about? That is a ridiculous statement.
There's this issue. Nice try. There's an issue that anyone that reads any newspapers would agree is a parallel track, which is the Delaware document scandal of Joe Biden, where there's a special counsel, Rob Hur, that's investigating it. You know that there were documents that were sensitive, that were marked classified, found in a garage near a Corvette, that made their way through Chinatown, through the Penn Biden Center. There's 1,850 boxes that have never been fully looked at University of Delaware.
I told you, 1,850 boxes. 1,850 boxes. You'd think everybody would know that number in the country, right? I didn't even know that. I mean, not that I'm, you know, but I didn't know that. I didn't know it was 1,800 boxes and 50. And did you hear Stephanopoulos? What are you talking about, sir? What, is he making this crap up? How could he not acknowledge that what the guy is saying is absolutely factual? Of course we know Biden has these documents. Well, don't forget where Stephanopoulos comes from. The Democratic operative before he became this big TV star years and years and years ago. What do you think? Here's more from now Trump's former attorney. He was his attorney at the time, Jim Trusty, this morning on Good Morning America, cut 98.
You have the ultimate unclean hands of a current sitting president who had no declassification, had none of the protections of President Trump, and who literally had to have stolen stuff from a skiff. Even Dick Durbin has commented about how this was an outrageous possession of classified material by Vice President at that point, Joe Biden. So that's what we're talking about. You can scoff and act like there's nothing to it, but the whole country knows the basic notion of unequal treatment and fairness, and that's what's at issue with this prosecution.
I think that is certainly what is at issue. We will see how it plays out, because I don't think you have the evidence to back up any of the charges you just made.
What charges did he make? There is an investigation with a special counsel in Delaware about these documents that were found in the freaking garage. We all know that. What is he talking about? I don't think you have any evidence to back up any of the charges you just made. What the hell are you talking about, sir? What do you mean? What are you talking about? What have you been hibernating? I don't get that at all. Not at all. Well, good for Jim Trusty. I liked when he said to Stephanopoulos, when he interrupted him and said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Good try." Because they expect it. The Trump attorneys, for the most part, aren't afraid to shoot back and fire back when they're on these liberal media networks, and they do, because they expect that it's coming, and they don't just sit there and take it. And good for them. Good for them. Now, this judge who's been chosen the left is going crazy. The judge in Florida that's going to oversee this case apparently has worked on a Trump case, a civil case in the past, and she's a Trump appointed judge. And should she step down? Conflict of interest. She's a terrible judge. Now, interesting. When the judge was chosen in the Manhattan case with the porn star payments and all that, and it turned out his daughter worked for a Democrat.
That's his daughter.
Nobody said boo. Nobody said boo. It's just, I feel silly bringing it up all the time, but you just have to point these things out. So here we are on MSNBC, and I think her name is Alyson Cannon. Her last name is Cannon. And they're talking about her previous rulings. This is Andrew Weissman, who was a deputy to the Mueller investigation. And here he is on MSNBC going after the judge. Here come the judge. Here come the judge. Cut 95.
There's still some unanswered questions. One, was this a complete random selection? The idea that out of, a dozen or so judges, it just happened to then go to the same judge and magistrate judge could happen mathematically, but seems unlikely. The other was whether it somehow got related to her because she had this civil case before, but usually criminal cases and civil cases don't relate to each other. So that could happen. And then it's possible that it was just random. To your point, whether she stays on the case or whether she either recuses herself voluntarily or is asked to recuse herself because of her prior service on the case, I think still remains to be seen. And I think David was very polite in describing her rulings. I was, and others were very critical of her decisions.
Okay, so she's had apparently bad rulings that have been overturned. Do you think they discussed on MSNBC with Andrew Weissman the 8-0 Supreme Court decision against Jack Smith? Who just who the special prosecutor whose work has resulted in the indictment of Donald Trump? You think they're going to bring that up? Oh my goodness! I'm doing it right now, Jack Smith. What was Dr. Smith's first name on Lost in Space? I know Dr. Smith. But what was his? I don't know if we ever knew his first name. We might have Jack Smith. SCOTUS decision. All right, I'll brief myself on that while I do the show. Pending Supreme Court case, complicated special counsel, S. Paul the federal Jack Smith. All right, I'll get it. Anyway, so let's hear the next bite in this MSNBC presentation. I don't think we did 96 yet, so let's do 96.
You have to remember, it is unusual to be reversed in the way that she was, but she was reversed not once, but twice by an extremely conservative appellate court. And the decisions were, to put it bluntly, scathing. She really got the law completely wrong. And that's not me saying that. That is the Court of Appeals. So the idea that she's back on the case, it would certainly be a very large challenge to see her rise to the occasion. I always thought after the first reversal, she might rise to the occasion, but that didn't happen. And she had to be reversed again. So it'll be interesting to see whether she stays on the case.
Yep. Well, we will see. Believe me, the left will cry and the left will pound the table and the left will do just about everything and anything that they could do to try to get her taken off the case. But believe me, that's exactly what they will do. You know it and I know it, and it's only a matter. By virtue of what he was saying, it's already started. It's already started. So, okay, let's move on. Let's go to CBS This Morning. John Dickerson, a reporter for CBS, outraged that Republicans, and this was before the indictment was unsealed, there's been a little less public support being thrown Trump's way since the revealing of the 37 charges. But this morning, based on the overnight and everything, John Dickerson was outraged that Republicans were backing Trump in this. Here's cut 99.
His party is largely rallying around him, and we don't know the facts of the case yet. This is another one of those instances where we are all stewards of our system, and we all have to be very careful because we don't know what the facts are. And yet a lot of people, including the House Speaker, are rushing in and saying this is a politicization, that it's a weaponization. Ron DeSantis, the Florida governor, said that. We don't know. And you know, it's not only the retention of records and the possible dissemination of information that's the most highly sensitive, but it's also obstruction of justice. When you receive a subpoena, you can't lie about whether you've answered the subpoena. You're not supposed to in the system. And one of the bedrock principles is that everybody is treated the same.
Yep. Everybody's treated the same. Okay. So here he is now, interestingly enough. Let's see. Yes. This is now after the New York City indictment. He also lectured Republicans who were daring to come to Trump's defense and calling this a political witch hunt of sorts, just like they're doing now. Here's cut 100.
My first reaction was, let's wait till we actually find out what's in the indictment. Of course, that's a naive thing to say in American politics right now. And that's my second thought, which is that this is an explosive event in a highly volatile time in American politics. Everybody has a responsibility who's in the political process to either add fuel, or they've got a question, not a responsibility. Are you adding fuel or are you taking fuel away? The president and his party are doing something smart, which is in the absence of facts, they are rushing in to define what this case is about. We don't know. Donald Trump doesn't know. It's under seal. And the question is, after January 6th, where we saw what Donald Trump did when there was an official proceeding that he didn't like.
Yes.
When you're in his party, are you adding to this volatility or are you removing it? Kevin McCarthy, after the election, he said that Donald Trump won. That was a lie.
Yes.
Then on January 6th, Kevin McCarthy, now Speaker, was terribly frightened by what happened. He saw what happened when you spoke in apocalyptic terms, how that could play out. So why now is the Speaker saying that this is an effort by the Manhattan DA to subvert an election? That's speaking in apocalyptic terms about a thing you know nothing about.
he's a real preacher, isn't he? He's just a real preacher sitting in judgment of course, Republicans. Here's one more lecturing from John Dickerson of CBS. Here's cut 101.
Why, after the history of January 6th, would you as a public figure add more fuel to the fire? Isn't your obligation, when the system is as fragile as it is right now, to hold back the fuel? We are in this volatile moment, and leaders have a responsibility to the moment and to the system. If you participate in a system of making laws or participating in elections, you are a steward of that system. You can't befoul it and then say, oh, wait, but have it apply to me in a clean and pristine way when I'm participating in it.
Right.
You are a steward of it. So what is a steward's obligation in this case? Absence of that, if you're a steward of the system, treat the system with respect by withholding judgment until we know what the facts are.
Yeah, okay. It's always until we know what the facts are, until we know what the facts are. I wish they would use that, take their own advice, but of course they never do. Let me give you some information here on Jack Smith, two of his high-profile cases over the years. In 2014, a federal grand jury convicted former Republican Governor of Virginia, Bob McDonnell, on 11 counts, including honest services fraud, extortion, and conspiracy. McDonald and his wife participated in a scheme to solicit and obtain loans and gifts from a Virginia corporation exceeding $170,000. This was prosecuted by Jack Smith. The U.S. Supreme Court overturned the conviction unanimously in 2016. Chief Justice John Roberts said the government used, quote, a boundless interpretation of the federal bribery statute, end quote. In 2011, a federal grand jury indicted former Senator John Edwards from North Carolina. Remember that? In a scheme to violate federal campaign finance laws, Prosecutors said Edwards, during his 2008 presidential campaign, conspired with other people to receive campaign contributions that exceeded federal limits to avoid disclosure of an affair and a resulting pregnancy. Well, in 2012, a jury found him not guilty on one count related to accepting illegal contributions, and they deadlocked on the other five charges, resulting in a mistrial. The Department of Justice declined to retry the case. Okay. The indictment of New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez, who, by the way, is still New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez. So that tells you right away. In 2015, Menendez was indicted along with a Florida ophthalmologist for allegedly accepting gifts from the ophthalmologist in exchange for using his Senate office and the power there to benefit the ophthalmologist's financial and personal interests. An 11-week trial in 2017 ended in a hung jury, and the Department of Justice declined to retry the case. So, what could I say? I mean, these are three; those were three high-profile failures, none so much as the first one, where the Supreme Court overturned a conviction of the former Virginia governor 8-0. So, time will tell where this is all going. I can tell you where I'm going right now. I'm going to take a break. I'm Steve Malzberg. One final segment left in the week on TNT Radio.
You should hear what Steve Hook is talking about.
An Air Force veteran is blowing the whistle on an alleged secret U.S. military program, which he claims has been retrieving craft of, quote, non-human origin, unquote, for at least several decades. Program, which he claims has been retrieving craft of, quote, non-human origin, unquote, for at least several decades now. Now, the funny thing is when you talk about a story like this, 50% of the audience rolls their eyes. The other 50% says, I knew it. I don't know where I come down on this, but this guy is highly credible. David Charles Grush, 36-year-old decorated former combat officer from Afghanistan. He filed a whistleblower complaint to Congress and the Intelligence Community Inspector General on classified information that he insists proves the recoveries of partial fragments through up to fully intact vehicles that have been made decades through present-day U.S. government, its allies and defense contractors. The bottom line on this, all this stuff, is that once upon a time it was like, well, we don't want to tell the public or the public because we don't want to sow panic throughout the populace. Okay, that makes sense, right? But that kind of became a catch-all, I think. At some point, the population starts to figure out, you know, there's a good chance we're not alone. And then you realize that maybe the reason they're keeping it so hush-hush is because of what this fella's saying. They're reverse engineering this stuff.
Steve Hook on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Your daughter doesn't want to talk about why her room is a horrible mess. Your son doesn't want to talk about why he's wearing mismatching socks. Your spouse doesn't want to talk about their bad haircut. Families don't have to talk about everything, but they should talk to plan for an emergency. Pack basic supplies in a go bag, water, canned food, flashlights, batteries, medical supplies, IDs, and some cash. Talk about where you'll meet in case you lose one another. And of course, don't forget to pack the dog treats. Talk to your family and make an emergency plan. Go to nyc.gov/readyny or call 311 to make your family's emergency plan. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
You're with Steve Malzberg on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, folks, welcome back. All right, so let me let you hear Jonathan Turley. He along with Andy McCarthy are just two of the greatest legal minds out there. And Turley was on Fox, and John Roberts, and this was after the indictments were revealed today. This is the first bite that we're hearing that I'm playing that is after the indictment was the charges were revealed. So Turley is on Fox. John Roberts is the anchor, and Roberts puts this question to him. Cut 102.
They detail a conversation that he had on May 23rd, 2022, with a couple of his attorneys, where the president, according to the DOJ and the indictment, said, I don't want anybody looking. I don't want anybody looking through my boxes. I really don't. I don't want you looking through my boxes. The president goes on to say, well, what happens if we just don't respond at all to the subpoena, I guess, or don't play ball with them? The president goes on to say, wouldn't it be better if we just told them we don't have anything here? Well, look, isn't it better if there are no documents? They've got these conversations that were memorialized by the president's attorneys. There's also this recording of him where he talks about this plan that's believed an attack plan against Iran. I mean, they've got a lot of information in this.
Yeah, they do. By the way, I've never really understood, you know, they made Trump's attorneys, maybe former attorneys, testify. What? I don't understand that. And that might be an issue. Isn't there attorney-client privilege? I mean, I don't know. If you're representing a murderer, and if he says he did it, do you have to then tell the judge that he confessed to me? It's attorney-client privilege. I don't understand how that becomes, how you force an attorney of an accused to testify. I never saw that. I never saw that any of the TV programs of you. I mean, now we call Joe Blow's former attorney to the stand. Never. Attorney-client privilege, spousal privilege. I don't get it. I really don't. But here's Turley answering that question, which I hope you haven't forgot by now. Here's 103.
No, it is an extremely damning indictment. There are indictments that are sometimes called narrative or speaking indictments. These are indictments that are really meant to make a point as to the depth of the evidence. There are some indictments that are just bare bones. This is not. The special counsel knew that there would be a lot of people who were going to allege that the Department of Justice was acting in a biased or politically motivated way. This is clearly an indictment that was drafted to answer those questions. It's overwhelming in details. And, you know, the Trump team should not fool itself. These are hits below the waterline. These are witnesses who apparently testified under oath, gave statements to federal investigators, both of which can be criminally charged if they're false. Those witnesses are directly quoting the president in encouraging others not to look for documents or allegedly to conceal them. It's damaging.
Yeah, on the surface, it is damaging. I mean, you can't deny that. But again, he didn't destroy them. He didn't burn them. He didn't bleach bit them. They didn't disappear, you know, but he didn't take a hammer and hammer them like they did to Hillary's phones. But here's where he talks about the attorneys. Listen to this from Jonathan Turley, 104.
What's interesting is that this indictment talks about these conversations with various lawyers who are not identified by name. You can see how the government succeeded in forcing these lawyers to appear in the grand jury, because these are statements that would go directly to allegations of an effort to conceal. The key to remember all of this is that particularly the false statement claims are particularly dangerous because they're standalone claims. What I mean by that is that there's a lot of questions as to the president's authority to classify or declassify. I don't believe that that argument is going to be as significant as the Trump team has suggested. But regardless of any of that, you can't make false statements to investigators. Yeah. And each of those statements are reviewed by the jury in an insular and independent way. This thing is chock full of those allegations.
Yeah, it is. It is. But he never really finished his thought on, and the word he used was force. They forced Trump's attorneys, they didn't name names, to testify before the grand jury, to give evidence against Trump in front of the grand jury. How is that possible? I mean, again, I'm not a lawyer. It just doesn't seem right. I don't get it. I mean, what is attorney-client privilege? Either it exists you know, or it doesn't exist. And I've always been under the impression that it exists. So let me look it up real quick here. Attorney-client privilege or lawyer-client privilege is common law doctrine of legal professional privilege in the United States. It's a client's right to refuse to disclose and to prevent any other person from disclosing confidential communications between the client and the attorney. It's one of the oldest privileges for confidential communications. The U.S. Supreme Court has stated that by assuring confidentiality, the privilege encourages clients to make full and frank disclosures to their attorneys, who are then better able to provide candid advice and effective representation. So how did they get testimony from an attorney saying, well, Trump asked me this, Trump asked me that, Trump told me to do that? How is that possible? What, they threatened their lawyer with contempt or jail? Don't forget, we'll see. Jack Smith has had problems with juries and with being overturned. So who knows? We'll see what happens here. All right, I want to turn the topic. This is a week old already, a week ago tonight. Kennedy on Fox Business. She's had a show for, I think, 8 years. And she was a former MTV original host, went by the name of Kennedy. She went over to Fox, hosted this show, also appears on Fox News Channel, you know, as a panelist and all that. And she's still doing that, and she's going to continue to do that. But for some reason, they stopped her show. So at least they let her have her last show. So her last show was last Friday. At the end, she's joined by Kat Timpf and one other person. Kat is a regular on Gutfeld show, who I had on first before anybody had her on when I was at Newsmax. But same with Jessica Tarlov on Fox. But that's a story for another time. So here is Kennedy last Friday signing off. Here's cut 21.
And it's worth noting that Billy Joel isn't the only one moving out tonight. Of course, the final episode of this show. But to keep it in Billy Joel terms, I'm not going to become the stranger. The TV party we started together on MTV won't end anytime soon because it's still rock and roll to me, baby. Don't go changing because I love you just the way you are. Well, most of you anyways. And Jane leaves us with, Kennedy and her crazy impressions will always be my fave. Like Bernie Sanders said, nothing is free except everything the government gives you because all the billionaires are gonna be deported. And I wanna thank you for watching the show for the last time. The last 8 years have been absolutely incredible and an absolute honor for me. I do have the best team at Cable News and they're coming out. Oh my God, Jeff Bell!
Jim, buzzer. We love you, Kate.
Go to Davenport.
See you in Davenport,
check out,
Iowa.
Check out my
come
podcast.
On, we have more friends
Kennedy
coming.
Saves the world. I've got friends.
We are the world. We are the children.
Go for it.
And then this past Sunday, Chuck Todd, host of Meet the Press, had this to say, cut 43.
I have a personal announcement. Well, today is not my final show. This is going to be my final summer here at Meet the Press. It's been an amazing, nearly decade-long run. I'm pretty, really proud of what this team and I have built over the last decade, and frankly, the last 15-plus years that I've been here at NBC, which also includes my time as political director. I've loved so much of this job, helping to explain America to Washington and explain Washington to America. When I took over Meet the Press, it was a Sunday show that had a lot of people questioning whether it could still have a place in the modern media space. Well, I think we've answered that question and then some. We've taken Meet the Press from a single Sunday show to a distinct and important political franchise. From our daily show, Meet the Press Now, our magazine show, Meet the Press Reports, to our newsletters and podcasts, we've successfully expanded what makes Meet the Press special on Sundays to make it special no matter the topic or where it airs or when it airs. That includes our annual Meet the Press Film Festival as well, which has somehow become one of the most important festivals for Oscar buzz and nominations for news-driven documentaries.
All right. He then went on to say, and we don't have enough time to play it, unfortunately, that basically he wants to spend more time with his family, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Everything I read points to the show was ended for him. It's not like he's walking away. And I have no way of knowing that, but that's what I've read a lot. And it would make sense. It would make sense. And so there you go. Chuck Todd, Meet the Press. no more after this summer. After this summer. Okay, so there you go, folks. So interesting week. Next week, we got the circus of Trump appearing in court again on Tuesday in Florida. And who knows what else the week will bring. Former Senator Rick Santorum is one of the guests that will join us. We also have the Polish Consul General to New York City to talk about various issues, including the war in Ukraine. We also have Ford O'Connell. So tell your friends, tell your enemies, God willing, Monday, same time, same place, right here on TNT Radio.